such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, everybody, and welcome. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Father.
Christina's in a meeting today. Yeah. She's
It feels
out
weird.
And about.
She, it feels weird.
Not she's not here. Not just here, but not in not in the office. We got a lot to talk about today, I think. So I can begin by saying what I often do not say, but intend to say, I used to say, and that is that I am your brother, and I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. Distress is part of life.
That's what it is.
Know? And we've, in fact, I was reading the, I just looked this morning at the Angelus address from the Holy Father, and this was this past Sunday, the Transfiguration, and of course he speaks about the as we spoke about this the other day, but that we have to come off the mountain, descend from the mountain, and accept, really make our way through the distress, through the trials and the tribulations, through the difficulties of life. Jesus didn't deceive us. He said, you know, you got to pick up your cross. You've got to follow. When he says, I'm saying you got to, he didn't say you got to do this, you know. I don't think he ever used the word got. but the point I'm saying, you got to do this. You can't avoid it. Nobody goes through life unscathed. And it's either we suffer the stuff of life, the distresses and the difficulties and the trials and the tribulations, either we suffer that in and with and through Christ, and if certainly we allow the Lord to take possession of our lives and we minister to each other in that way, we serve each other because we help each other on the way, we lift each other up, and we do so, we have to do that in truth, right? So Jesus didn't deceive us. Now, if we don't have faith, if we're not in Christ, or have no room, no space for God in our lives, I mean, and it must be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob who has fully revealed Himself in Jesus, and we're not gonna we're still gonna suffer, but it's a suffering that can end up in despair, despair. So our gratitude is that, well, our gratitude is that God indeed so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save the world. And He did that through the offering of His only begotten Son to adopt us as beloved sons and daughters. But He did that in the offering of His Son, who freely offers Himself, the high priest, Jesus, who offers Himself as a victim in order to save us from our slavery to sin and death. So He didn't spare Himself anything, so that as we experience the struggles of life, the difficulties, trials, tribulations, distresses, the stress, the suffering of the mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit, we don't despair because we see the cross, but we have this grace to see beyond the cross into the glory, the light of the resurrection, and to know that God is a compassionate God, an empathetic God who, as I said, He didn't spare anything of what we suffer. And to nurture this life in God, in essence, we ascend to the mountain. The Holy Father was making reference to this, and as I was reading it, I thought, really, isn't that what we do in adoration when we go to Mass, but in a little bit different way through the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, of the Eucharistic adoration, the real presence of Jesus. We started Tuesday, which was a carryover from Sunday. I was speaking about the sacrifice as a necessity to the renewal of the church, the priesthood, the episcopacy, the family, marriage, the society, is that we have to embrace that sacrifice, which is, as I mentioned on Tuesday, it comes from the Latin sacra facere, which is to make holy. And so we enter into the holy sacrifice of the Mass, but so the Mass is sacrifice, holy sacrifice. It's a sacred meal. We're fed with the victim. Jesus offers himself as a victim, feeds us with himself, the sublime mystery of our faith, so that we not collapse, to strengthen us, spiritual food, food for the journey, and food unto eternal life. So there's the sacrifice, there's the sacred meal, the holy sacrifice, the sacred meal, and the real presence, which is brings us to the faith in that Jesus is uniquely present to us in the sacrament. In fact, you know, you'd say, well, but he's certainly with us in the Word of God, in Scripture, and he is. But as I heard it described once, the difference would be that when we read sacred Scripture, you can liken it to reading a letter from your beloved, right? So in the absence of your beloved, her presence or his presence, depending on whether you're a man or a woman or whatever these days, the letter, the Scripture can be likened to reading the letter of a beloved. Or it could be a mother to a child. I remember we've read the letters of St. Louis and St. Stephen to their mm-hmm. sons. Beautiful letters. I mean, that's a love letter. I mean, that brings the father present to his son in a beautiful way. And so sacred Scripture does that. But when you go to adoration, you put the letter aside because you're in the person, you're in the presence of your beloved, right?
That's a beautiful image.
It's a beautiful image.
Never
it really
thought about
is.
That.
It's not, it doesn't come from me. It came from somebody else. Mm-hmm. I'd like to take credit for that. But it is a beautiful image. Because if your wife, Tony, would send you a love letter, or a letter that,
right.
Love letter almost sounds kind of a little bit superficial, but a letter that conveys her concern for you, her love for you, her direction to you, her counsel to you. Mm. You know, she's, let's say, the closest to your, the closest to you.
Right.
But she comes, let's say she just went to Mexico to visit mm-hmm. her family, and so she sends you these letters, you know. As my father did when he was in Vietnam, you know, even a letter where he reprimanded me because my mother accused me of being not so good, you know. I never forget that, you know. That was, I'm not going to go into that.
But it's cool because it goes to your father, and then your father comes back with a letter to you saying, hey, right. Son, what's going on?
Exactly. All the way from Vietnam.
Right.
And a little bit of a reprimand, but it was, it was needed, it was warranted, you know, and so, but I felt a little bit bad, but, you know, this is my father, but in any case, you know, there's a special relationship, you know, father to a son, wife to her husband, a husband to his wife, a mother to her child, whatever. So your wife goes to Mexico, and she sends you letters to, you know,
I'm not coming back here on your own. Right. Thanks for the vacation.
God forbid. You know, I don't think she would do that.
No.
I know she wouldn't do that.
But it's stay here.
But it does happen, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But in any case, but if she comes when she arrives, mm-hmm. you're not gonna as she comes and you sit around the table or you're in the living room mm-hmm. or whatever, you pick her up at the airport and you're in the car or you're in the cab or in the
right.
Uber or whatever. And she's there. You're not going to be reading the letter. She's in your presence, right?
Right.
So that's the difference between the sacred scripture,
right.
And which is truly the Lord present to us in His Word, but very different in His real presence, where you really, in a sense, put aside mm-hmm. The scripture. You may need it perhaps to kind of open the door mm-hmm. To this mystery, because it's a little different than, you know, I'm talking to you, you're talking to me.
It's an adoration. That's something I've been doing lately, because usually I would come in and you want to read and you want to pray, but I think the being there still and knowing that He's there and just opening yourself and just, here I am, Lord.
Right.
Speak to me.
In fact, that comes right out of Scripture. Be still, yeah. Be still, and
exactly.
Know that I am God. Jesus says, go to your inner chamber, shut the door. He says, you don't have to say anything. Your Father already knows.
Exactly.
You know? And to enter into prayer with that faith, mm-hmm. This is, I'm just going to be in the presence of God. As Saint Therese would say when she was asked, how do you pray? She says, I just let Him love me, you know. I just let Him love me. Now, there is certainly the formal prayers of the church, and when we go to Mass, you know, that is there's the vocal prayers. But there's a contemplative and a meditation, reflection, contemplation. It all ties into, yeah. You know.
But there's a time for that too, and I've noticed that too with me in my prayer life. There's a time when I need to pray. There's a time when I come to. In adoration, just to be away from everything. It's almost like where you just come and you want to be alone, in a
right.
sense. You
right.
just don't want nothing around. You want nothing to interrupt, nothing to, you just, but when I'm finding myself sitting there in front of the Blessed Sacrament, there's a part of me that's like, I'm starting to realize that there's nothing more than to just be.
That's your contemplation. It's really
time goes by and it's almost like a centering of the mind to God.
It's a gift.
Yeah, and it took me a while to get to this point. So it's like this adoration, when people hear it, it's not an easy thing. People think, oh, well, I'm going to go there and I'm going to pray. Well, there's no way of telling you what to do. It's just you in a sense know when you're in the presence of God.
Right.
And
right.
when you begin to feel it, I can't even explain it.
That's right. That's what you're absolutely right.
Because I remember Father used to say it so many times when you told all of us, we should, you know, there's adoration. What is adoration, you know? And then all that, I used to listen, and he says, whatever. You know, it's like life gets in the way. But even for me now, taking that, and I consider it a pilgrimage for me, mm-hmm. because I know I have no time and I can't make the time, but that initial doing it, just doing it, getting there, and even if it's for 10 minutes, even for, and lately now, sometimes I'll be there with the intention of, I'm just going to stay here for 20 minutes and fine. 20 minutes goes to an hour, sometimes right. an hour and a half. It's just a matter of once you're there, you're there. And
grace takes over it seems to me we spoke about this on Tuesday. I don't recall, but because we're doing the Mercy mm-hmm. Hour now, and this is something where we started again. We did this years ago. We started again during the season of Lent. It's as I had this meeting yesterday, your wife was there. I wanted to,
right.
I said that, you know, we want to continue this because it's so necessary. And
I was happy that you're doing this again, because that's how I started to get closer this
right.
way. That's how that hour, when I had the time to do the 3 o'clock hour, was just, I can't even describe it.
Right.
That's how beautiful it is. And that led to me to even with the adoration. It's just that with adoration, sometimes it's hard for me. But like I said, if I make that time, and that's the sacrifice. You know,
right.
The key to your sermon on Sunday, that's the sacrifice. And in Lent, why I love Lent so much is because I force myself to do that sacrifice. And not only do I force myself, I begin to understand what it really is.
Right. The world gets in the way, distractions and all that. And this is, so we will begin at 3 o'clock, mm-hmm. the chaplet. And we just pray the chaplet and just a couple of additional prayers, but it's very short, maybe 10, 12, maybe 15 minutes. In fact, I'll read the gospel of the day, and then that's it. And then the rest is silence. People can choose to stay for the whole hour. They can choose to stay 5 minutes or 10 minutes, whatever. But I find for myself the difference, and forgive me if I mentioned this the other day, but when I'm in my chapel, and I always expose the Blessed Sacrament, the real presence of Christ, and that's where I write my letters, and that's where I want letters for the bulletin, you know, right. For the bulletin, and this is where I'll prepare. I think I'm preparing for the radio. I always don't feel like I'm doing
preparing
so well,
what you
but.
Do.
But that's where I'm, you know, before the Lord, you know, it's
best place.
So it's kind of a working, it's like a working relationship we have. I would say a working relationship, like, okay, here I am. Show me the way. And I often say this, show me the way.
Yeah.
So, and so you wrestle in your mind with this stuff. So there's a lot of, it's like a working prayer in a sense. I've never thought of it that way before, but it's like a working prayer.
But that isn't. That's what life was supposed to be. And I say was because I don't think it's the way it is today. I mean, we think about everything else except God sometimes. And God, it's a relationship. It's a working relationship.
It should be, you're right. You're absolutely
God
right
was
about
always.
This. So that God always, you know, don't do anything without consulting God.
Exactly.
You know? And you learn little by little how he speaks. But oftentimes it seems... in the midst of the chaos and the confusion and the distresses, but his plan is little by little, slowly but surely unfolding. Right. But going into the mercy hour, now I can put aside that work, that working relationship, let's say, and lead the chaplet, and then exactly as you describe, and it's just, it's very different.
Yeah.
It's a radically different kind of prayer because I'm able to just be in the presence of God. And it's so, I was telling the people yesterday, you know, you just feel strengthened, you feel rested, it's resting, you know.
And that's another thing. I've many times come into, even in prayer sometimes, I'm all over, I can't concentrate, I can't whatever. But then there's a moment when you give over, you just say, Lord, I just... be silent, work with,
right.
And then there's that peace, there's that calm, there's
right. And it might mean, and in many cases it does, because this helps us to keep the focus. And people always remember, ours is incarnational spirituality. It's not navel-gazing, it's not looking at a dot on the wall, but we're in relationship with a living God who's revealed himself in Jesus, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the saints. These are, it's the part of this mystical body, the communion of believers, and this is what's so beautiful. So we say, well, who's got our back these days? Well, it's God has our back, and we can't forget that. That's why I think in the midst of all the crisis, which we're going to get to in just a second, we're going to take a break and come back to some issues that are that need to be addressed. But it's knowing that you're in the presence of a living being. This is a person. Jesus is a person. God became flesh. He took on our flesh. He took his flesh from the flesh of his mother. He took his body from her body, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Their DNA is identical. And so what you might find in that prayer, and I do this, but it just becomes the the prayer that you're not even aware of, because you're just it just helps you to be still and to know that He is God, and that is just, you know, it could be, you know, Jesus, mercy, I trust in you, or Jesus, I love you, or here I am, I come to do your will. Ben Espiritu Santo, come Holy Spirit. But just that mantra, if you want to call it a mantra, is just helping me it's like keeping the door open, the door of the soul, the door of that inner sanctum that is within all of us, to keep it open. It's a mutual gaze, God gazing on us or me, and you know, in a personal way, and me gazing on God. So we've got to keep our eyes on the Lord. We must, but today I think more than ever, to get through this this very difficult time we're going through. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and I don't know if I'll begin with these readings coming up on Sunday, which I just found so beautiful and so timely. And but in view of some of the stuff, issues that that are signs of the times and need to be addressed. All right? So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stan's School has an amazing PK 3 through 8th grade program focused on leadership and social-emotional learning, and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK 3 through 8th, is taught by our highly educated and dedicated teachers. St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced level placement opportunities, as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community, where you feel welcome and at home with other families and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent. Join the St. Stan's family. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change. On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through 8th grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So just a few things. I had a brief discussion this morning with somebody who was really, really disturbed by the revelation again of all the priests that have been named in Illinois. I think there's 400 and some.
They have a report or something, right?
Right.
Wow, I didn't.
It's basically old news.
Right. That's now new.
New news. New news again. It reopens. The wound, and the wound, it has to be an open wound, because it has to be addressed, it has to be dealt with. So let's get that out of the way right away. It's not, again, don't push it under, I can't shove it under the carpet. I truly believe that we've yet to realize the damage this has done to the faithful people of the mm-hmm. church. Not just the faithful people, certainly victims, mm-hmm. those who have been victimized, but so on so many different levels, there's deep pain, deep hurt. The victims who have been directly affected by this abuse in whatever way, the people in their circle, you know, family members and the like, the faithful people, people who are living the faith, and the priests who are trying to live the faith and with fidelity, trying to keep authentic their own priestly consecration in the struggles of life, but even people who are searching and who question, who don't know how to get to God. Mm-hmm. I mean, the church is supposed to be the sacrament that mediates the grace. There should be this draw. We should be this, as Jesus said, the light in the darkness, the leaven, the salt of the earth. And so all this is so, it militates against the church's true identity, her authenticity. This is the underbelly, the dark side of this is the human reality, void of grace, or when there's not an openness to God's grace. Jesus, he said, you're going to always have scandal. You're not going to avoid it. I've said this many times. He had 12 apostles, and one of them was an apostle, Judas Iscariot, who sold him out and with a kiss, you know, kissed him on the cheek in order to turn him over, have him arrested and interrogated and led to his crucifixion. So it was one of his own apostles. And you read the epistles of St. Paul and Peter and James and John, and you see already in the very early days of the church, they're dealing with these deviations or these idolatrous behaviors or the sacrilege. So and if you go back into the Old Testament, you see that this is all, it's a part of the journey. And maybe this time in which we're living is a purgative time, we hope. We certainly hope that there be a major purging. But it's really messy. The whole thing is very, very messy, because you can look at it from so many different levels and so many different perspectives. And then, of course, you know, priests that are accused that are not guilty, mm-hmm. you know? And this has happened as well right here, you know, where a man is accused. There's allegations are issued. He's yanked out of his pastorate, or is, you know, he's forbidden to exercise the ministry to celebrate the sacraments until there's this investigation, and it has to be, and then he's exonerated. But who hears about that?
The damage is done.
Yeah. You know, so I say all the way around, it's very, very messy. The cover-ups, you know, I was at a meeting the other day, and I heard it came up. But even within the presbyterate, there's an uneasiness as to how to deal with it, how to talk about these things. But somebody said that in defense, quote unquote, of the bishops, they were being advised by so many other people as well. And so, you know, I'm not here to, I'm just saying it's messy. Right. It's not, everything is messy. But it isn't, it's a problem. And it's not certainly unique to the church, but that doesn't in any way diminish the damage that's been done and how people have been deeply hurt faith has been deeply eroded, and unless you're really, unless you really have a mature, a maturity about you in the faith, or and by maturity I mean not just a simplicity, a humility, mature in that sense, the power and humility, that your faith in Christ, your faith in the church is not going to be shaken by this. In fact, Jesus says, he says your faith is going to be shaken, but hold firm to the faith. And all this was foretold, it was forewarned. We were forewarned. And that's why we can't let the guard down. We've got to be astute. And to be quite frank, we let the guard down. We let the guard down. But again, let me just say that this, what we're dealing with in the church, is symptomatic of what's happening in the broader society. And I'm not talking simply about sexual abuse, but at all levels of society, there is this crisis of faith, or should I say maybe perhaps in a broad kind of a way, an indifference to God or to the faith. As I mentioned the other day, the not wanting the discipline of the faith, the discipline of the church, because it is a discipline. It is, Jesus said, it's a narrow path. It's a difficult path, not easy for anybody. Few can really stay on this path. We got to keep that in mind. Few can stay on this path. When Peter said, well, Lord, how can man be saved? And Jesus says, you know, for man it's impossible, for God all things are possible. But it is a difficult path. So the whole, this adhering to the commandments of God, the horrible confusion created in the area of sexuality, teaching little children basically the free reign of the flesh, this lack of appreciation for a chastity or the virtue of virginity and chastity, a chastity which should really characterize the lives of all Christians, all Catholics, even what we call marital chastity, where there's a proper understanding of how men and women come together in the marital bond, in the covenant, this relationship, which is a sacred covenant. So there's a certain marital chastity as well. But when we live in a society that is saturated in sex, and I've said it many times before, the obsession with sex isn't the church's obsession, it's a society's obsession. And so we've all been affected by this obsession because we're all wired in such a way that there is this natural inclination to the things of the world or the things of the flesh. And that's why we need the discipline of the church. And that discipline has to be nurtured through prayer. Even the prayer, as you said, the first step into prayer is sacrifice. I've got to create the space. So anyway, people are deeply, deeply wounded, deeply hurt, and crying out for, let it not be, or what do we do? How do we get out of here, out of this? How do we move beyond this? And I don't know, but by the grace of God, we're going to move beyond this, but it's, when you understand the nature of spiritual battle, spiritual warfare, that the devil is going to do anything and everything to foment division. Remember, he's the accuser as well. Mm-hmm. So even, I say so often, what is God's greatest attribute? His greatest attribute is his mercy, his incomprehensible mercy, that from the cross he would cry, Father, forgive them. He knows what we're made of. And yet he's written the law into our hearts, and he gives us the grace, but we have to be open to that grace. We have to cooperate. Again, this means that we've must enter into the prayer. We have to understand our responsibility to each other. It's just not about us, about me, about you. Life must not revolve around the individual, nor the church. If we see the church as a club, a mere institution, or a club, or a place to have social relationships, a gathering, then we're missing the point. We have to be absolutely God-centered. God. We come from God. We go to God. It's about God. I mentioned Tuesday, I talked about this man who said, you know, that his God is first in his life. He said, before my wife, before my children, before my parents, God is first. I go to God, and it's in nurturing, cultivating this intimacy with God. And again, by intimacy, I'm not talking about any kind of superficial, but something that is really deep, that it's beyond what I can feel, what I can describe, as you mentioned in prayer. That then, that acknowledging and the submitting, the entrustment, the consecration, the surrender of my life to God, even if I don't see Him or if I don't feel God, but it's the knowledge that God has created me, I am destined for God, I choose now to live in God, to follow His commandments, to be nurtured in this relationship through prayer, then that then has the ability to transform life and to bring us to be what Jesus calls us to be, but a light in the darkness, to be a leaven, to be the salt, to properly serve our marriages, our families, our community, to serve each other, to help each other, but in a merciful way, in a merciful way. Got to take a break. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And, don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know. Stop or go. Hot or cold. Up or down. This way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation, one way or the other.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. There I go. I put my... Okay, I'm on. Okay, welcome back. So a couple of other things. I am maybe a little bit all over the place, but I'm just looking at these articles that I... One wasn't an article. It was actually a letter issued by the cardinal this morning. I just got it this morning, and
it's a good place to start.
It's good, yeah. It is a good place to start. But it's again, this stuff is disturbing. We should be, if we're not disturbed by this, then something is really wrong. Now, people will boast of the fact that they're socially progressive,
right?
Right. So, you know, to Hades with. traditional marriage or with life. You know, it's
just pick something because it's always something,
And it's in your face every day.
Exactly.
And, so he's actually beautiful. I say beautiful. I think it's a tragedy that he has to write this letter, but that the about this development that should really disturb us as citizens, but as disciples of Jesus, who is the Lord of life. So he refers to these two bills that have been introduced into the Illinois House and State. The first bill seeks to strip unborn persons of any protection, or even consideration under the law, and declare abortion to be a fundamental right and matter of health care. The end result is that an abortion could be obtained at any stage of pregnancy, including late term, for any reason and without any regulation. The law would no longer guarantee any compassion for any unborn person in Illinois, even if they are partially born. And he says this legislation also appeals the Abortion Performance Refusal Act, which protects doctors and nurses and hospitals who refuse to permit, recommend, perform, or assist an abortion. In so doing, rights of conscience, especially religious objections, will be lost. This is happening all over, and it's what's amazing to me is that just like with the redefinition of marriage or the acceptance as a norm, homosexuality, just where does it stop? They keep pushing the envelope. And so, you know what I'm saying, right? This is because it's in our face every day. The second piece of legislation repeals, and I get this, and Armin's in the studio here, so help me to, I'm assuming that this is right when I say this, but first of all, it repeals the Illinois Parental Notice of Abortion Act. This law, the Parental Notice of Abortion Act, upheld unanimously by the Illinois Supreme Court just 6 years ago, has the common sense purpose of ensuring that parents would be part of the life-altering decision of their minor child in the case that she seeks an abortion. In other words, parents have no parental rights.
Wow.
Now, if you want to give your child an aspirin, right, in the school, you have to get the permission of the parent. I could turn you on there, right?
Yes. Well, the teachers are given a right called in loco parenti, so they act on behalf of the parent. But the parent generally supersedes the wishes of the school. And what this law attempts to do, this proposed law, is that the state is taking away the rights of a parent, which is ridiculous. They want to become the parent.
The parent.
And it's unconscionable. It is the ultimate power grab.
So these two bills, this is happening. This is all, you recall in Virginia,
well,
New York. I think they've already passed this, haven't they? It's already been legislated. But Virginia, I don't recall that it was, but they were certainly pushing toward that, and the governor there spoke. Oh no, yeah, it was the governor. Yes, because he was a pediatrician of all things, wasn't he? A pediatrician.
Yeah.
But he just, in a nonchalant way, spoke about a child that has been born but left to die because...
What he did say is that it's up to the mother. So if the mother decides that a partially birthed child could be killed, if she wanted it to be...
He described how that would happen.
Not in graphic
detail. It seemed kind of graphic to me because he said, you know, we'll keep the child as comfortable as possible. It didn't go into...
It's like giving the child the last meal before it's executed.
Unreal. Wow. Unbelievable. But these things should disturb us. And the fact that, you know, we've gotten to this point, just as with the gender issues, all this transgenderism. I was reading today as well. I just found this. Before I go into that, you know, speaking of abortion, I read this, and really, I want to point people to this LifeSite. People, you've got to go daily to LifeSiteNews.com. It's LifeSite, S-I-T-E. Okay. L-I-F-E, LifeSite, S-I-T-E, news.com. Because I tell you, really, it gives you everything. It's a great website, and you learn a lot, you know. But they're actually looking for people to sign a petition to protect what? But to protect the Down syndrome community, you know, against eugenic abortion. Just get this. These are the facts. 92% of Down syndrome babies are aborted in the United States. 92%. 98% of Down syndrome babies are aborted in Denmark, and 100% in Iceland. Now, if you've ever known a Down syndrome person, it's appalling. This is absolutely appalling. In fact, I want to ask a sister who runs our soup kitchen for the poor, because her religious community, that's their primary ministry, is educating, giving homes to educating and helping the Down syndrome young people as they take care of them even as they grow into adulthood. I gave a retreat out there once to the sisters, but the whole community was all Down syndrome. These are the most beautiful, precious, innocent, joyful, loving, compassionate people you'll ever meet in your life. You know, when there's if you are crying, they have no inhibitions, not knowing why, but they just intuitively know that you're suffering. Mm-hmm. They, with no inhibition, they come and they hug. Right. Oh my God! It's
my mother's sister, my aunt, had Down syndrome, and she was the most beautiful person you could imagine, and it was volitional compassion. She knew how you were feeling. She could communicate with you. Although she was a little difficult to understand, but the basic understanding and her humanity came through every single day.
Yeah, this the people who built, the family who built this studio, they had a Down syndrome, mm-hmm. a son who had Down syndrome. His name was Tommy. Yeah. And God rest his soul, he died several years ago. Yeah. He was, I think, in his late 40s, maybe early 50s. But what that young man did to his, when I say transformation of the family, how that family loved him and how he loved them back, and the childlikeness, you know, when Jesus says, be like the little children, be open to wonder at the marvel and the mystery of all things, and they do, they naturally do. And so he would come to Mass to pray, and you know, he especially loved Christmas time, and he just loved the Christmas trees. In fact, he had a Christmas tree all year round in his bedroom. But when he'd come to the church, you could see him during the Mass. He was just in awe of the beauty of the church and the trees, the Christmas trees, the lights. Cardinal George said this years ago. He called it chilling. He says, because we deprive ourselves the opportunity not only to grow into grace, but to receive the gift that these people bring into the world. There's a reason for it. My niece, I've got the pictures right here. she's got two sons. She and her husband, wonderful people, devoted Catholic. I mean, they're of all the nieces and nephews, most devoted Catholics. And he's her husband is the pilot for Air Force Two, for the vice president. They live in Maryland, but they have two sons, two children. They know that one in four chances a pregnancy is going to. Well, they learned this only after their first child, Max. He was born with SMA, spinal muscular atrophy, and I mean, so they the first son, the second son, the same thing. They're two completely, totally different personalities. They're super, super intelligent, super smart. They've got a great joy about them. They have not the use of their muscles from the neck down, or any of the muscles. So they've got their chairs. And Alex is not as severely affected as Max, but nonetheless, it's a reality. And so he has to drag himself around, and he's got his own chair as well. But they go to school. You know, Max is in a Catholic school. He received his Holy Communion. It's a tragedy at first when you realize, you know, my gosh, what happened? What are we going to? But what that has done to the family, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Now, if you know. In pregnancy, that you've got a child that has this kind of disability, as with Down syndrome, which is it, do you consider that a disability? I don't know that I would consider that a disability, but doctors, not all doctors, but people, I've heard this from women in the parish, their recommendation from the doctor is abort, because your child is going to be afflicted with this.
Well, the AMA has become a left-wing organization, and they support abortion, and they support other things that are contraindicated by our faith. And just because your doctor prescribes doesn't mean that you should actually take part in the procedure. There is a young man, and I can't remember his name. He's been on various talk shows in the secular media and on Fox. He has Down syndrome, and created an organization to talk about the vibrancy of life of a Down syndrome person and what they can contribute to the culture and exist by their very humanity to show that God's work comes in many forms.
Yeah, absolutely. I had should we take a break? We got about 7 minutes, or should we just keep going?
Yeah, hit the break.
We'll take a break, and we'll come back and kind of wrap up with this story. But these things should disturb us. We've been disturbed for a long time, but there's a point when I don't know. It just keeps pushing the envelope, and it's got to stop. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stan's School has an amazing PK3 through 8th grade program focused on leadership and social-emotional learning, and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK3 through 8th, is taught by our highly educated and dedicated teachers. St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced level placement opportunities as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community, where you feel welcome and at home with other families and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent. Join the St. Stan's family. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through eighth grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Just one other thing. Well, let me tell you this little story. So the woman, this is years ago, and a very humble woman, beautiful family, and the son and his wife, they gave birth to a Down syndrome child, baby. And they were disappointed, you know. You don't fault them for that because people have to process. You have to process, right. And we understand that. But the mother, you know, God bless her, just a very petite woman, very humble Mexican woman. She brought the baby. I was having the morning mass, and she came into the church with the baby, newborn baby, after the baby went home, and knowing that the parents were disappointed, she brought the baby to Our Lady. The Virgin, Our Lady of Guadalupe, mm-hmm. And I just remember watching her, you know, offer that child to a Blessed Mother, and it was with tears in her eyes, you know, just that you know, receive this child or bring the parents' love into the life of this child, and indeed, it happened. The baby didn't live too long, just a couple of years, maybe even less, but. But I also remember, I'm just thinking of another, and we're out of time, but parents, very devoted parents, Tony, you know them, their granddaughter, she's an adult now, wonderful, beautiful woman, couldn't hear nor speak. And I remember the father bringing Bibi, her name is Beatriz, mm-hmm. to the Blessed Sacrament and watched how he was teaching her to make the sign of the cross. It was such a moving experience, and the love they gave her, and she's mm-hmm. She's a professional woman now, and you know, that we would abort any child, but to think that perhaps if you've got a disability, you're expendable. This is so contrary to the leftist narrative mm-hmm. of inclusion. I'll just leave it at that. It's evil, it's sinful, and we have to stand against this. Everybody, will be back tomorrow. God willing, Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Ciao.
Read the signs, no time.